Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join the madness.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 740. Today we hear once again from Melissa, who asks,
knowing your love of etymology, what about contractions? While in dialogue, I don't usually mind using can't and don't, but in narrative or professional, i.e. work-related writing, I detest can't. I prefer to use cannot as two words because I like how it sounds and that it emphasizes the not aspect of the phrase. Yet everyone, editors, word, grammar checkers, wants me to make it cannot as one word, and I hate it. Why did we merge those two words? I know why some words like canceled, cancel, and color, and she's using British and American spellings, mostly because of classifieds where you paid by the letter, but what is it with cannot versus cannot? Most of the time I refuse to change it, but why is it that way?
I don't know exactly, but I can venture a few guesses, all of which might be partially true. Telegraphy, I'm guessing, probably had a lot to do with it, because the convention seems to creep into books in the late 19th century. And in telegraphy, you also paid by the letter. But contractions were not as acceptable in formal communications, and so you shrink cannot by one letter when you do cannot. Another possibility is that it reflects the way the word is spoken in common parlance. People don't usually say can not. They usually say cannot. But, like you said, they do separate for emphasis. The way I tend to approach contractions personally is it depends entirely on the voice of the piece. If I want to emphasize the not, I will separate can and not. Or if I don't necessarily want to emphasize the not, I will just write cannot. If I'm doing a conversational voice, which I frequently do now, I will use can't or cannot. Like with so many other things, I tend to view language choice as a sort of a musical performance option. So in the same book, I will interchangeably use contractions and not contractions and formalized separation versus ramming words together based on how I want the prose to sound in the reader's head. And I do that in formal communications as well as informal. Now, formal, you have a formal voice, and so you break into the contractions if you want it to sound a little more matey, as the British would say, rather than strictly off-putting and formal, or if you're trying to go for an economy of words. Again, it's entirely, as far as I'm concerned, it's entirely a style thing based on your ear. We just watched just a fantastic movie last night called Inkheart. It was done about 10, 12 years ago, and got wide release in Europe, but not much release in the U.S., Brendan Fraser film. If you've ever seen The Neverending Story, it's got a lot in common with that. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix right now. Any writer should watch that movie. It is utterly delightful. But one of the things I noticed as we were watching it is the main character, Brendan Fraser's character, speaks with very formal English. A lot of the characters around him are speaking in dialect, either Cockney or London RP or regular everyday street language. But Brendan Fraser's character speaks like someone who reads a lot of books to himself silently. And it's a very subtle thing. But his phrasing has a little bit of an archaic tinge to it. Like, for example, my speaking voice did when I was a teenager and wasn't terribly social. So I wasn't performing stuff out loud very much, but I was reading a lot of Tolkien and Chesterton and Poe and a lot of older books, and so my phrasing was slightly formal and a little more circuitous than it is now. It was just this beautiful, subtle thing, and Brendan Fraser, being Brendan Fraser, pulled it off perfectly. I mean, you wouldn't have even noticed it if your job wasn't working with words, but it leapt out at me as just a wonderful stylistic choice. it made him sort of the reliable narrator center of this crazy adventure. And by putting him at a slight remove from the action through the way he spoke, it actually made him almost a more relatable character than everybody around him who was speaking more like the audience would expect them to speak. And it wasn't so overdone that it was stilted. It was just the right amount, and it was beautifully done. So Inkheart, highly recommend. With regards to contractions and whatnot, this is very much a case of let your aesthetics rule. That's part of your voice. Use it the way that you think communicates best. And let your audience come along for the ride. Because they will if the story grabs them. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.